I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All right, so much going on in the country right now, and we are honored to have a Fox News host and former Congressman Trey Gowdy on the phone with us this morning. He's got a new book out. We'll get to all that here in a few minutes. But Congressman, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you are.
We're doing fine. Thank you. You know, it's a small world. I used to work at WYFF-TV in Greenville, South Carolina, and used to interview when I was there a young defense attorney named Lindsey Graham before he ran for Congress.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry that you had to do that, and I hope you found a really good therapist to help you get over it.
We used to go to the Lazy Islander just outside of Clemson there and have drinks after after some of the trials that he would conduct.
Now, that part I believe. the Lindsey drinking, you sure it was after trial and not during trial?
No. It was after court was out, for sure. For sure.
Well, we miss you in the upstate. We'd love to have you back.
Well, I appreciate that. I see Carol Goldsmith is still there, I believe, and yes. Jane Robolo is back at WYFF.
Yes, Jane's there. Her husband, Mario, Nigel is there.
Oh, wow.
YFF has a really big footprint. Now, I live in Spartanburg, but okay. Obviously I was born in Greenville.
Okay, so you're over there by the Gaffney Peach then, right?
I'm close to the Gaffney Peach, yes, with House of Cards.
Yep, made famous in House of Cards, if anybody watched that. I love the upstate. We were just there this summer, and it's still beautiful. It's grown so much since I worked there all those years ago.
Unbelievable. Thanks to BMW and the late Carol Campbell, it kind of put us on the path.
Broke that story, in fact. I helped break that story when BMW was about to put a plant up there. It was the best kept secret in town, and we were working at YFF when that happened. So a lot has changed. That's off the subject here, though. We got a lot going on, and I want to get to the book here in just a minute. But I listened to your interview yesterday with Annie Fry, our midday host, and I know you were addressing this situation in Minneapolis. And, I mean, there are just no words for any of us at the tragedy those parents in that community is going through. And immediately, of course, the mayor up there, Jacob Fry, the governor, Ilhan Omar, they all want to turn and point to the gun. And that's been the subject of a lot of debate.
Yeah, it always is. And my general rule is let's let the funerals take place. Let's let the families grieve. You know, most people can't even name the victims. That's what's so sad about the state of crime is, and I refuse to call the names of the shooters. And some other people are beginning to not do that, too, and not publish the manifestos. I mean, we need to know to the extent you can ever understand the mind of what could motivate someone. But truth be told, you and I will never understand how someone could target the most innocent among us. So really in frustration, you have two choices. You can kind of track the shooter and try to figure that out, or you can track how someone that in hindsight, we probably all agree should not ever have possession of firearms, but yet lawfully gained them. And that's the balance. And look, there are passions on both sides. I managed on Wednesday to make the whole world mad. I made reference to Jesus, which made the left mad. And as a former gun prosecutor, and I'm one of the few that actually spent his life trying to keep people who aren't supposed to have guns from getting them, with my thought process being, yes, I was a murder prosecutor, but someone's already dead at that point. My goal is to stop the killing. So how can we do that? And also, look, I got a friend that has 3,000 firearms, literally 3,000. I do not worry one bit about him. You mentioned Lindsey Graham. Lindsey has an AR-15. I'm more worried about some people with a pair of scissors or a plastic fork than I am Lindsey Graham with an AR-15. So we do have to focus on the individuals and how like people who are clearly mentally ill, but not adjudicated mentally ill, can gain possession of firearms. And passions run high, but here's what I think. I'm trying to look for commonality the older I get in life. I think we all agree that we would like to see no more tiny caskets. None.
I
think we can all agree on that.
Well, I do agree on that. And then, you know, when it comes to this issue of mental health, I've said all along, since going back to Sandy Hook, what has changed since then? You had a kid that was on drugs, psychiatric drugs. His mother clearly knew he had a problem. She still introduced him to guns. He ends up killing her, taking her gun and shooting up a school. The soft underbelly there, well, we don't protect them well enough. There's so many different ways to approach this, but we got to figure out a way to make sure that our system, including due process, can report people like this so that they're not allowed to go in and buy guns. And that's the line everybody's walking right now, right?
It's a hard line, and passions run deep on it. And I welcome the critiques because, number one, I grew up with three sisters, so I got thick skin.
Yes.
But if we have a dialogue about how to do what you just said, the law-abiding people who would never hurt anyone are always inconvenienced by statutes and regulations. Meanwhile, people who don't care about any of our statutes or criminal laws are willing to break all of them. They're the ones that seemingly are unaffected. I'm looking for a way to kind of prioritize the most fundamental right of all. So we mentioned the Second Amendment. We mentioned the First Amendment. You know, this was a religious school. We can't dictate to them that they have armed guards because it's a private school. But the most fundamental right of all to me is the right to stay alive. And look, Trump is proving that in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bipartisan. We want to stay alive. So how do we kind of weigh and balance, you know, our freedoms that we enjoy this country with the ultimate freedom, which is to see your 11th birthday?
Yeah, it's a great point. Trey Gowdy, our guest, former congressman, see him on Fox News, listen to his podcast. And you have a book out, and I know this is part of the Fox News book series, but it's the first fiction title. Was that your idea, using your experience as a prosecutor?
Well, I mean, this book has been in my head for a decade, but it was going to remain in my head, which is where most of my ideas remain. But my boss, Suzanne Scott, the big boss at Fox, I was meeting with her, and we were talking about books and crime, and she knows what I used to do. And she said, why don't you write a fiction book? And I said, well, because I'm not Chekhov. I'm not Tolstoy. I'm not John Grisham. And she said, try. So I wrote it, and I actually, truth be told, if you can keep a secret, I'd rather write than anything else I do. It was my favorite thing to do, but that doesn't mean you're good at it. Just because you like it doesn't mean you're good at it. So I put pen to paper, and we had some good editors and a great collaborator, and you know, and it is out. And I would tell people the same thing I told them Wednesday when they, you know, were not 100% crazy about what I said or did. I want to get better. This is my first. I've written three nonfiction books,
mm-hmm.
but this is my first fiction book, and it's a far different genre.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be bad at something. I want to get better at it. I mean, people who have read it have been really kind. They've you know, I don't think anybody's going to guess the killer. I'd be shocked if you figured the killer out. So there's a lot of sleight of hand. I'm also fascinated by the psychology of what, like, I know what being a murder prosecutor did to me. I know the toll it took on my faith. Just to be quite candid about it. It wrecks your soul. So I wanted to give an account of that, but not with the real life grief. So I fictionalized the murder.
Well, the
possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
The book is called The Color of Death, and I would imagine, as being a, you know, sort of black and white, these are the facts prosecutor, making stuff up was probably a little more of a challenge, wasn't it?
Well, the good news is nobody fact checks you.
Oh, that's there you the go. Exactly.
You, no one calls you and says you got that wrong. I borrowed, actually. I don't know. You may have left the upstate by this time, but we actually had a beautiful young mom killed in a beauty salon, and it went unsolved for a decade. And that was kind of the spine or the backbone of this now fictional novel. I mean, I changed every other aspect of the crime, but it was a way for me to honor Dana Satterfield, which was a real case that I prosecuted. It's been on Forensic Files and all the other crime shares. It took us a decade, and I can still remember to this day where I was when the sheriff called me and said, I think we know who killed Dana, because 48 hours is the magic window, not 10 years. But we did solve it, and the jury came back in 14 minutes with a guilty verdict.
Well, Trey Gowdy, we enjoy watching you on Fox and appreciate the fact that you still live there in the upstate, beautiful part of the country. The book is called The Color of Death. It's available now, I assume, on Amazon and everywhere you get your books, right?
I think it sold out last night, but they re-upped it. So it's everywhere now, but there was a brief fleeting moment of terror when Amazon said it'll come to you in October, but we have fixed that issue. So thank you to everybody that got it. And I'm going to propose a trade. We're going to trade Lindsey Graham and get you back to the upstate.
You're trying to get rid of Lindsey, is that it? That's funny.
Well, he owes me $30 the last time we played golf. I want to get rid of him.
Here's the better story for you, and I've got a minute here since it's my show. I'm going to take it. Lindsey Graham was an attorney working there in Clemson, somewhere. I met that or Oconee County. Oconee or Pickens County, I can't remember.
Pickens.
And I was dating an Anderson Independent newspaper reporter who ended up being my wife. And after she and I would both cover his trials. And the day after I proposed to her, because we kind of kept it secret, Lindsey asked her out on a date. So I robbed him of a potential wife there. See, I stole her away.
You saved her life. Can you imagine living with Lindsey Graham? You know what? He's never found anyone that loved him as much as he loved himself, so he never got married.
That's funny. Oh, Trey Gowdy, great having you on. Thank you.
Likewise. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care of yourself.